Well, last week we were looking at the three different planes that we can live on as human beings on this earth. You know, the first plane was that the natural man, that person who has never received Christ, they're void of the Spirit. The gospel of the grace of God is foolishness to them. They can't understand the things of God. So they formulate, you know, their own religion type thing. And so that's the natural man. We see that in verse 9 in chapter 8. And also we see also the chapter in verse 9, it says that that if the Spirit of God is not in you, well, then you are not God's. You know, you're not his. You're not his child. You know, and so and then from there we looked at the fact that that the next step would be that you would be a carnal man. You know, that you would be a spiritual. You know, you'd be born again. You'd know Christ, but then you would be immature. You know, a spiritual baby with no appetite for spiritual things. You know that that we're either, you know, we're fighting our spiritual point, or we don't care at all to speak about spiritual things at all. That, you know, we're not into the Word of God, we're not into sharing, we're not into fellowship, we're not into any of those things. I mean, we can still be a believer, perhaps, you know, but there's no life in us. You know, that there's, you know, we're either judgmental towards others, or we're depressed about our own failures, but there's fruitlessness, there's hopelessness, there's loveless, there's joyless. The only friends that you may have would be people that would be like you. Spiritual people are threatening, you know, and so you just don't want to be around, you know, anything like that, and you fit in well with the world. And then the spiritual man, we see, as what we're looking at today, as we're looking at chapter 8, and all the way through, we're looking at what does a spiritual man look like, or woman? What does that look like? You know, and we're going to see that the spiritual man has the mind of Christ, you know, is dominated by spiritual things, indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, has the fruit of the Spirit living in them, you know, that they're loving, they're forgiving, they're serving, they're caring, they're sensitive towards others, they're not self-centered, they're not sensitive towards themselves. You know, when people, you know, speak about them, they're not, you know, they're not defensive, or they're not quit, you know, they're not quick to get angry. They admit wrong. They're humble. You know, they're loved by others who love the Lord. They're probably people that are carnal, probably dislike them because they're threatening to them. You know, but this is the spiritual man. You know, the natural man who doesn't know Christ, they look at him as a complete enigma. You know, they think that they're a fool. They think, you know, what is this person thinking about? Their head is in the clouds all the time. You know, what's wrong with this person? You know, don't they know that they need to be more practical on these things? Well, this morning, as we get through in chapter 8, it's really the transitional chapter between being a fleshy or a carnal person and being a spiritual person. You know, and then there's that work that the Lord wants to do in the Spirit. If as we get into chapter 8 and we understand what the Spirit has to say to us, that the Lord is wanting to do that work of making us spiritual, you know, making us, you know, just having the fruit of the Spirit, making us, you know, be the people that God wants us to be. You know, having joy and having peace, having love, having being able to fellowship with one another. And so the Lord is really wanting to do that, you know, in us. In fact, as we look at the words that are being spoken about in chapter 8, we see that the word Spirit is used 18 times in Romans 1 through 16, 18 times, and 14 times altogether in all of Romans. So there's only 14 times outside of Romans 8 that the Spirit is even mentioned. So it's speaking about the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? How can we live in the Spirit? Where the flesh, where we see the flesh, it's used 12 times in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, and only 6 other times in all of Romans. And so now we're getting away from the flesh, and we're getting into the Spirit. We've talked about the flesh, we've talked about carnality, talked about what it means to be a carnal person and, you know, and walking by the ways of the flesh. But now the Lord is wanting to show us what it means to live by the Spirit. Now, when we're talking about the flesh, we're not talking just about the, you know, the physical, you know, stuff that we have on our body, the skin and the bone and, you know, the muscles and all that. You know, we're talking about our self-life. You know, we're not to live by our self-life. You know, in other words, anything that you could put self and then put another word in, you know, afterwards, you'd be your self-centered life, your self-absorbed life, your self-promoting life, your self-righteous life. Those are the things that the Lord is wanting to rid us of so that we can live in the Spirit. You know, as we live in the Spirit, then it's going to be His life, the Lord's life, living in us. So anyway, by way of introduction, we just wanted to spend a little bit of time telling us where we're going as we start getting into Romans 8 now. Now, looking at Romans 8, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, the first thing that we're going to look at today is that if you're going to be a spiritual man or woman, that we have to understand that if you're in Christ Jesus, that there's no condemnation. You know, if you're in Christ, that you're not condemned by the enemy, you're not condemned by yourself, you're not condemned by others. Condemnation means that you're like sentenced to death, sentenced to hell, that you're separated fully from God. You know, if you are if you have received Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ, it says that there is no condemnation. So we need to understand that. We see that in verse 3 that the Lord condemns sin in the flesh. You're not condemned, but sin is. That's why we would say sometimes that God hates sin, but He loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but He loves you. Now, when we're talking about condemnation, this is what it means, that you're not sentenced to hell as a believer, but there is conviction of the Holy Spirit. Conviction of the Holy Spirit means that when we're blowing it, when we are sinning, when we are out of God's will, that there's going to be a conviction and the Lord is going to be speaking to our hearts. The Holy Spirit is going to be ministering to us that we are wrong. We're living in sin and that we shouldn't be able to live in that place. And if we are, well, then there's something that's really wrong. There's something wrong with your relationship with the Lord if you're able to live in sin. You know, and so we have to go back and say, "What's wrong, Lord? I need to find out." Okay, so that's conviction, but condemnation, no. Because condemnation means that you are being separated from God. And the very thing that we need to be spiritual, to have victory in our life, is to have the Spirit of God in us to do that work for us. But when we're condemned, then we think that we can't have relationship with the Lord. We can't have fellowship with Him, so we remove ourselves from that place. The Lord wants us to be here, but we're out there because we're condemned. We're condemned either because we have tried so many times to do the right thing, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I do, I don't want to do. I'm having this conflict. I'm having this war. And at a certain point, I'm just saying, okay, well, if I can't do this, and I know that this is wrong, well, then I'm going to have to either justify it and say that it's okay that I do this, that God wants me to do this, it's all right, or I'm condemned. You know, in either case, you know, the Lord is wanting to free you up from that place of condemnation, okay, because you're in Christ Jesus. We see also, and I want to jump because we don't have a whole lot of time, but in verse 6, I want to see the second point. So the first thing is that there's no condemnation, but in verse 6 it says that to be spiritually minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded. You know, spiritually minded is life and peace. It's not condemned. It's not condemnation. We're not enemies of God, but there's conviction. And now, but when we're in the Spirit, there's life. And there's peace. And if there's peace in your life, well, then you know, there's a very good chance that you're walking, you know, that you're spiritually minded. If you're not spiritually minded, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to have true spiritual peace from God. You may have some peace in the world. You know, maybe things are working out okay around you, but you're not going to have peace in your life. Your spirit is going to be at, you know, and it'll be unrested. There'll be turmoil inside of you until your mind, the spiritually minded, you know, is life and peace. And then the third thing we want to look at, and we're going to spend the rest of the time here in verse 9, 10, and 11, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. So if you are truly a child of God, then you are not in the flesh. You are not in Adam. You are not in the old man. You are in the spirit. Stop living like you are in the flesh. Stop living like you are in the old man. You are not being controlled by him any longer. He doesn't have authority in your life any longer. That fleshy man, the old man, doesn't have the authority. Now the authority in your life is the Spirit. You are not in the flesh, and Paul wants to make this very clear, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, this is the difference between every other religion. This is the difference between being carnal or being spiritual. This is the difference between being natural or carnal. It's the fact that it's the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God is dwelling inside of you? And it's so easy just to take something like that and, you know, kind of take it for granted, you know, not that big a deal or, you know, whatever. This is a huge thing. And it's just like, it's so giant, but we miss it. We miss it. Jesus wanted to let us know over and over again, John 14:6, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go. I have to leave the earth because when I go to the earth, then, only then, I can send the Spirit to you. And now the Spirit can dwell with everybody on earth. When Jesus was on earth, he couldn't dwell with everybody, but now he does. He lives inside of us. And he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And here's another point. The Holy Spirit came down, but Jesus said, I will come to you. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with Jesus, the Spirit of Christ. You know, that's who's living inside of you. You know, his life, his power, his ability. He says also in John 14:20, he says, in that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. We're in him and he's in us and he's in the Father and all these things are all together. I mean, it's very confusing. But it's a blessed reality to know. And then he says in John 14:23, and Jesus answered, said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. He's going to come and make his home with us. He says that he abides with us and we abide in him. You see, in John 17:23, and I in them, you and me, that they may be perfect in one, that the whole world would know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. You know, he's always speaking about this, I'm in you and you're in me and all these different things. How is it? How could it be? You know, I mean, how could we wrap our arms or our brain around something like this? You know, one way, I heard this illustration used a long time ago, and it was really a good illustration. It was a sponge, throwing a sponge in the ocean. You know, we're the sponge, the ocean, we're in the ocean, but the ocean is also in us. You know, in the same way that we're in Christ, but Christ is also in us. You know, so we are absolutely we're no longer our own. We have been bought with a price that we've been taken over. We've been taken over by the Spirit of God, if you are a believer. We have to understand that. We see also in 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You're not your own. So just to understand, if you don't understand that, then the spiritual life is going to always be elusive. You're not going to understand that. How close you are to the Lord. How much fellowship. How tight this relationship is, you know, with Christ himself. Then going on, so verse 9 again, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you don't have the Spirit of... See, notice that it says the Spirit of God, the first part of 9, but then the last part it says if he doesn't have the Spirit of Christ... Isn't that interesting? Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ are being used synonymously. They're together. But if you don't have the Spirit, you're dead. And it says in verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ is in you, now you're looking at, again, if Christ is in you, then your body is dead. Which your, you know, your flesh is dead. Your natural man, your natural state is dead. In fact, we see in verses like Ephesians chapter 2, he says that, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Even when you were dead in trespasses, he made alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up together to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And so there's this reality of the fact that we were dead and now we're alive. Our body is dead, but now we are alive. We've been resurrected, you know, in Christ. But the Spirit, in end of verse 10, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's not our own righteousness, but it's Christ's righteousness imputed to us. The Christian life now is our life. Christ in us, his righteousness is our righteousness. His holiness is our holiness because he's living it in us. His purity is our purity. His love is our love because by fact that he lives it all inside. He's doing everything inside. It's an interior life rather than an exterior. And that's why the Lord hated hypocrisy so much. That's why he had such a hard time and came down on the Pharisees so much, because they were all external and not internal. He's into the heart. You know, the Pharisees were very into, you know, doing everything that was right outwardly, but their hearts were always wrong. But no one knew that until Jesus exposed them. He could see into the heart. So they thought that they were good because they hadn't killed anybody, but then Jesus exposed their heart. Says that you know, anytime you don't like someone, you know, that you have killed them in your heart. You know, and then you just go, hmm. And then also, you know, that he said, you know, then the Pharisees were also those who, you know, they didn't commit adultery. And he says, well, if you looked at a woman in your heart after her, well, then you've committed adultery in your heart. I want to do heart surgery. I don't want to do surgery on the outside. You know, we can make ourselves look any way we want pretty much on the outside. But on the inside, that's what he's interested in. Religion is outward, what you look like on the outside. Christ, life, is what's happening on the inside. Because it doesn't matter. You know, you read these things about these, you know, these beautiful women and these, you know, pageants and all these type of things. And they're the most insecure people that you would know. You know, and it's just like you'd think, well, you know, they look so good, and so then they should be, you know, very confident and all that kind of stuff. Well, not at all, because it's all on the outside. You know, I mean, the heart hasn't been changed. You know, you can do all the, you know, the makeovers or make yourself look whatever you want to look on the outside, but in the inside, you're still who you are. You know, and that's what the Lord wants to address. He wants to address your insecurities. He wants to address your, you know, the stuff that's going on, you know, in your mind. That's, you know, your bitterness, your hatred, you know, this cancer that you have inside of you, this bitterness is like this cancer, and he wants to deal with it. He wants to do an operation. He wants to take it out, you know, or this envy or this jealousy. He wants to do that work on the inside. And so that's why it's so exciting when we see that it's Christ inside of us. He's doing a work inside, this operating work inside, and this, and we're so concerned about the outside. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. No, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him, the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, inside of you, this is the Spirit of him, the Spirit of the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, the power that it took to raise him from the dead, it was like an incredible amount of power that God used. If that same Christ lives inside of us, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Through his Spirit who dwells in you. So let's take a look at how many times he says this. Look in verse 9. We see that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay, then look at verse 10. Christ is in you. later on, we see in verse 11, the Spirit of Him dwells in you. And then at the end of 11, it says, through the Spirit, through His Spirit who dwells in you. I was looking up in Wikipedia about hot air balloons. And I was also talking to Stu about it as well, because he does that. But it seemed to be a good illustration for what is being spoken about here. The hot air balloon, the skin, the outside of it, it's called the envelope. And the envelope is just a bunch of nylon and, you know, different type of, you know, a different type of this, a nylon on the outside, and then close to the where the heat is that's coming in, that's called a that's the Nomex, you know, a different type of material that doesn't burn. Okay. But that's all it is. It's just a bunch of stuff, and it weighs as much as like a couple hundred pounds. You know, it's really heavy because it's huge. The thing is giant. But if you have it on the ground, it's dead. I mean, if there's no air in it, there's nothing there. It's just a bunch of material. It means nothing. And that's really pretty much who we are without Christ. We're just a bunch, you know, it says that we're dead. We're, you know, even though we're alive, we're living dead people, because there's really no life in us. And that's the way that the Lord sees us until we receive the Holy Spirit. Before we are filled with Him, He sees that person as dead. Doesn't hate the dead person. He loves the dead person, but He wants to see that person come to life. He created each and every person so that they could come to life. He created them once, physically, but then He says the only way you can really live is to be born again. You have to have another birth. You're birthed the first time physically, but you have to be birthed the second time spiritually. And so you've got this, you know, you've got all this material. I mean, it has all this potential, but all it's doing, it's just laying there dormant, dead. Now, in order to get this thing going, there has to be something inside of this envelope. It's called the envelope. I mean, there's different sizes, different shapes, you know, kind of animal shapes or big ball shapes or whatever. And so the first thing that they do is they get cold air, and they have a fan, and they put it in there, and it blows it up. So the whole thing blows up, but it's all cold air. So what happens with it? It stays there. It's just, you know, it's on the ground. It's sideways. It's grounded on the air, on the ground. But it looks, you know, I mean, it's starting to look good, but it's still worthless. Because that's not what it was created to do. It was created to soar. It's created to go up. It's created to, you know, to go up into the air, and then to be led by the streams of air, you know, wherever it's going. It was to be free from the ground. Gravity has it pulled down, but the hot air brings it up. So the carnal person is like the person who has air in them, but there's no movement. You know, I mean, they're fluffed up. You know, they look like a balloon and everything. But because they're in rebellion against the Lord, you know, they want their will over God's will, and, you know, they're wanting their way instead of God's way. They're not going where the Lord wants them to go. They're fighting them every step of the way. But then it's not until then they have the burners, and they've got these huge burners that are going on, and suddenly they turn on the burners, and all this hot air, you know, then starts going into the balloon, and so it goes from here and it comes up to here. Now the balloon is up. It's where it's supposed to be. And so you're looking at it and go, okay, this person's making, you know, if you're looking at this in a spiritual sense, you know, the person's making progress. Okay, now I'm seeing, okay, the potential is there. But a lot of times, you know, we're afraid to leave the ground. You know, the ground is comfortable. You know, we're staked to the ground. And, you know, when any time that there's going to be something that is going to be uncomfortable for us, we'll fight it. You know, the Lord wants to give up, you know, something in your life, you know, and it's just like, no, I can't. You know, He wants you to give up that sin. He wants you to give up that person. Give up that lifestyle. Give up that phone number. Give up your future. Give up that hope that you had. Whatever it may be, I don't know what it is. It's all different for all of you. It's all different for me too. But I know that I have a struggle with it. You know, getting the knife and cutting the ropes or, you know, taking the ropes off, then it's just like, oh man, now we're just floating in the air, and it's like, oh, and the winds could go any time in any way and could just take us, oh, I mean, we could crash, we could burn, we could have all these things happen to us. And that's true. But also you could soar. You know, we're comfortable. We want to play it safe. And so we just, we get our feet into the ground and we ground ourselves there. And that's what the carnal mind is. You know, a believer, but they're carnal. They're not trusting in the Lord. It's like, I don't want to trust God. I want to stay here where it's safe. And sometimes as we're trusting the Lord, He'll take you someplace. Sometimes as you're trusting the Lord, He'll just take you up and you'll just stay in the same place. You know, you won't go anywhere. But you'll be where the Lord wants you to be, and you're going to be at His disposal. Then when the wind comes, then you're going to start going with the wind. Wherever where the wind wants to take this balloon is where you're going to go. You're pretty much helpless. You know, I mean, you're trying to figure out the wind currents and where I might go or whatever, but, you know, you're pretty much, you know, you're just being taken by the wind. You're being taken by the Spirit a lot of times, and you don't know where it is, and that should be fine. But man, we want to control things, don't we? We want to hang on, and we just want to make sure that what we do, is going to be comfortable. We're not going to be shaken out of our comfort zone. And so the Lord is just saying, I want my people. I want you to trust me. And as we look in verse 11, it says, but the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, this power that would launch this thing, this hot air, you know, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, He dwells in us. You've got this hot air inside you. The life of the Spirit, is inside of you. You know, it's, you don't have to be earthbound. But He says that He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, to your skin, to the envelope. It'll give life to it. The life would be like the hot air. The burner would be like the Holy Spirit of Christ, His power. But then the actual hot air would be like this, would be like the life that the Lord wants to give you. And this life, it's not just eternal life. You know, when you talk about, eternal life, everlasting life, it's so much more than the duration of the life. It is the life of God living in you right now and then continually and throughout eternity. But it starts now. Let the hot air, the power of God, come into us and do that work to resurrect us from our circumstances. I mean, because when you're up in the air and you're being led by the Lord, you're above all of your circumstances. You're over all of your fears. You know, when people say, well, how are you doing? We've mentioned this before. Well, under the circumstances, I'm doing great. Well, under the circumstances, what are you doing under circumstances? You should be on top of them. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like we should be over. We should be reigning in life. We should be reigning victoriously in Christ. And the only way we can is when we allow the Lord by His Spirit to do that work in us so that we can be resurrected over our circumstances, over our failure, over these things that have just, over our sin, over condemnation, over our fears, over our doubts, over all those things. But we have to let go of these ropes. We have to trust the Lord in our lives. I think that Ben and Tess had a great testimony there. I mean, there is times when they're hanging on to that rope and they're just going, I'm not letting go of this at all. We're going to do it this way, and this is how we're going to do it, and da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it was just like they went through a lot of very difficult things. But just at the end there, it was amazing because they, at the very end, it was like, they said, I don't really care. You know, I don't really care what the, you know, what the outcome is going to be. Lord, we're just going to serve you. You know, it doesn't matter if we have a child, if we don't have a child, if we, you know, it does, nothing matters any longer except for you. And they were resigned to that. And it was at that time, it was probably just a few months later, you know, that the Lord said, okay, now you're ready. Now you're ready. Because otherwise, it could have been by their own manipulation, could have been by their own trying so hard, spending all this money or whatever it is. But then they had to realize that if it's going to happen, it's going to have to be you, God, and no one else. And that's what it is. So they're able to come up here and say, it was God and no one else. Set me free. You know, the testimony that we have of person after person, you know, who is deeply in sin, in bondage, in addictions and everything else. And it was like, the Lord set me free. I don't even know. It wasn't a program, it was nothing else. It was just God by His Spirit. And so the Lord is wanting to elevate us, He's wanting to get us to a place. But the Lord wants to, He wants to continue to do this. And so when we, I want to leave you with this. Just kind of thinking about a balloon, the hot air balloon. And thinking about in your own life, you know, maybe how you are hanging onto the rope. Or maybe afraid to let go. And the reason we're afraid to let go of the rope is because we don't trust God. We don't trust Him. We're thinking that if we let go, we're going to go up in the air, and then we're going to end up over the ocean and crashing and drowning and getting eaten by a shark. I mean that's really kind of what we think. Otherwise, we could just so easily to say, okay, Lord, whatever you want. You know, I'm going to take you there. And so the Lord is just really want us to see that, you know, we could either be on the ground dead, you know, with this envelope, not even without even any life in it at all. And if you haven't received Christ, really, that's where you're at. I'm not saying that just to make you feel bad, like you're, you know, just a bunch of nylon material on the ground, dead. You know, but really, that's in reality, that's what the Lord says all the way through His Word. And if you have not received the Lord, then you don't even have the potential of having the, you know, having this power of God coming in you and raising you up over your circumstances. If you're living your life for yourself, but you're a believer, you know, and you're seeing that there's a lack of spiritual vitality in your life, well, the Lord just wants you to, you know, let go of the rope and let Him do that work. Even though it could be scary, and I'm not saying it's not scary. I mean, you know, because it means really that we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to our own hopes, aspirations, our own control over this person, this family, this situation, this financial decision, this house, this car, whatever it may be. You know, we may have to let go of all. But the Lord wants us to know that He is able, that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we'd even ask or think or imagine. Let me leave you with a couple of verses before we go. In Colossians 3:1, He says this: if you were raised with Christ, meaning that if you receive Christ, you're raised with Him. You're here. You're upright. You know, the balloon is ready to take off. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And when you're focused above, the heavenly, when you have a spiritual mindset, you're focused on Him. He's above. And it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. It's so much easier, isn't it, to have your mind on things on earth? Because we see those things. It says, for you died. You died. Even though you live, you died. And your life now is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. I thought it was interesting also that Paul read those verses at the beginning, And those were the perfect verses, you know, that goes with this section as well. And let me read that to you one more time. And it's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. This was a prayer that Paul had for the Ephesians, and this would be the prayer that we'd have for one another, and maybe a prayer for yourself, you know, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit, through the power of his spirit in the inner man. He's wanting to do that work in the inner man. Let the Lord do that work in the inner man. Do you know your inner man? Do you know who that is? Let him do that work in the inner man, the deepest part of your heart. A lot of times we just kind of neglect the inner man. We spend so much time on the outer. But let the Lord minister to your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. He's dwelling inside our hearts, the deepest part of us, through faith. Through faith. You can quench what the Spirit wants to do. You can resist what the Spirit wants to do in your life. It's through faith that we allow him to do that work in us, through faith. And faith is saying, Lord, I'm trusting you with my life. That's all faith is. Lord, I'm going to trust you and not myself. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, to know how much he loves us, that we're not condemned, that he loves us, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Inside of us, we're filled with the fullness of God. You know, scripturally, it says that we're filled with Jesus, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're filled with the Father. Different parts of Scripture. We're filled with the fullness of God. Everything that God has, he's filled us with. He hasn't left anything out. Draw upon the resources of the Spirit in your life. And then he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And then he goes on, he says, according to the power which works in us. There's a power that's working in us, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants that power to just be unleashed. And when he unleashes that power, you know, that we would just be able to cut the ropes and just say, Lord, you take me where you want me to go. You take my mind where I want. I want to be spiritually minded. I want to be heavenly minded. Lord, do that work in me that only you can do. And Father, we want to just thank you for the reality that that you said that we are filled with your Spirit. And Lord, that there's a power to live over our circumstances. And Lord, I know that there's many impossible situations that many of us are dealing with, either with relationships, with that we don't want to let go of, with finances, with sin, Lord, that we're hanging on to, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just do that work in us even right now, Lord. Cleanse us. Lord, convince us how much you love us. Convince us how much you're wanting to do in us, Lord. Lord, you're so faithful. We thank you that you're faithful to bring babies into the world. You're faithful to set us free from the bondage of sin. You're faithful to use us, Lord, in an incredible way, Lord. Lord, you could use us in our families, and you could use us to be a blessing in our communities and at work, Lord, that we'd be the fragrance of Christ, the aroma of Christ. And when people would see you, they'd say, there's something different about that person. There's so much life in them. There's so much joy. There's so much love. There's so much peace. They're so gentle. They're so kind. That they're so content. They're so filled with the Spirit. They're so patient. Lord, may that be us. And all you're calling us to do is letting you be God in us. Because that's what you're producing, the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, just be God in us. Let us let you be God in us. Lord, I'm tired of fighting you. I'm tired of hanging on. I know that it's the more I hang on, the more it's killing me and killing others around me. Lord, by your Spirit, set me free. Even cause in me, work in me, Lord, to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Lord, even convince me to let go of the rope so I can soar with you, Lord. Teach me how to do that in my own life, in my own circumstance.